This is a replay of the Wednesday night, September 4th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Plenty to talk about. We're getting into Lisa in Dundee. She's got a story to share. Jim in Richmond, the glaucoma specialist today. Yes, and Cindy in Chicago, who's got some requests. And we've got plenty to play as well. But I'd say several times a week, I see an article about a medical malpractice situation. And usually we don't talk about them because unfortunately they're oh too common. Occasionally you read one where you say, what the... And this is one of those. And this is a couple from Muscle Shoals, Alabama. They had a vacation property near Desmond, Florida. And the husband became feeling not well. And so they went to the emergency room in Walton County. And he was told after a workup that his spleen had to go. And the couple said, well, we'd like to go home to Alabama and have our diet. Oh, no, no, it's got to go now. And so it is that they scheduled the surgery because they scared the couple into thinking that he wouldn't have made the trip home. Goes into surgery. The doctor, who near as I can tell, don't know much about him, but seems like he went to an American medical school, though I'm not 100% certain of that. Seems like he is a natural-born American, but again, I'm not 100% certain of that. What I am certain about is he probably didn't make it to too many classes in his first 2 years of medical school. You know, the ones where they teach you about the organ systems, all 11 of them, and where the organs are located. Yeah, I don't think that you get out of your first semester without kind of a good diagram of that. So exactly how the doctor mistakenly removed his liver instead of his spleen, who knows? So meanwhile, by mistakenly removing the liver, as you can imagine, you're cutting into some major arteries. The guy bled to death. Yeah, dead. And so there's going to be an inquest, they say, I guess. But the autopsy, the real pain of it all, is the autopsy showed that, yes, there was a cyst on the spleen, but it could have waited. It was nothing that was endangering this man's life. So he followed the advice of the doctors, and he's no longer. Needless to say, his wife is suing. There's an attorney representing the widow, which is why you've heard about this case, actually. It was August 21st when it happened, supposed to be a very common spleenectomy. And yes, it is true that the liver is on the left side of the abdomen and the spleen is on the left side of the abdomen. But it would seem to me that you wouldn't need to finish medical school to know where this was. But there you have it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Lisa in Dundee, top that.
Well, you know, you saying that made me remember the, you know, Dana Carvey from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
He had a clogged artery, and when he went in for surgery, they operated on the wrong artery. And so he did a, you know, there was a big malpractice suit and everything.
Sadly, that happens too often. I mean, some of the real horrible ones are where they take out the wrong eye when there's only one seeing eye, or they remove the wrong limb, the wrong leg when the other, you know.
Exactly. That's why you see them right on.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't do that with an artery, but on your leg, it'll say, you know, this one.
Right.
You know,
so right. Exactly.
It's just crazy.
So, you know, those cases, sadly, I hear about far too regularly. But I can't imagine in this case how a doctor could make this mistake.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So,
I mean, I don't know the. It's sad.
Yeah,
it's really sad.
Yeah, and I'm sure there will be a little investigation into our good doctor. But I've got his name here, and I'm going to try to look him up, see if I can find out something.
And hopefully, he doesn't do too many operations between now.
Oh, I would think he's no longer doing them at the moment. I would think.
Oh, let's hope so.
I would think he's totally relieved from duty for the time being. Yeah. So tell me your story.
Well, I have there's so much bad news all around, and then on the nightly news tonight, they have this story about a couple in Alaska, and because of a landslide, they lost their home, and I guess the one guy got out okay, the other one had to be rescued, and they had to, their two little dogs were buried underneath all the rubble.
Okay.
And this was back on August 25th.
Okay, so I know, if you say August 25th, because I have a good friend who's in Alaska and I've spent a lot of time there, this was Ketchikan.
Yes.
All right.
So you know the story.
Yeah, but that's okay. Nobody else does, so go for it.
Oh, okay. Well, a week later, you know, they're still going through the rubble of all the homes that were, you know, lost. And this one woman, firefighter, crawls through this very small opening and sees some blinking eyes.
Wow.
And some whimpering. And she yells right away, you know, I've got a dog. And they rescued both of them.
Yeah.
And they're both absolutely fine.
Yeah. And there's pictures of them. And
they're just cute.
Yeah, they are cute and they are small. So you normally, you know, I mean, let's face it, if they're rescuing a Rottweiler, Rottweilers are very hardy. They're going to stand through a lot. But you look at these two faces of dogs who don't look like they'd make it through much, and they're fine.
No, and the area they were in was so small. It was only like 3 feet.
Yeah.
Her body didn't hardly even get in there. And then she had to, you know, they had to crawl a little bit more. But, they checked them out at the, you know, vets and everything, and they're just fine. And here these poor guys are grieving that whole week, you know. But what a good story. I mean, I tell you.
Yeah, you're right. For a whole week, and there were some touchy-feely stories on how they were grieving for their dogs and what they were doing to make their private goodbyes and all this. And meanwhile, the dogs are just fine.
No. They're just like, well, this is not normal.
Right.
What do we do now, you know?
Right, exactly. So their three-story house becomes a three-foot house, and worse than that, it falls like 47 feet into a neighbor's house.
Yes, 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 yes. I mean, it's just so bad. All the way around, they just never should have survived. And the fact that there was nothing wrong with them, even, you know, no broken legs or anything.
Because
the guy, food, no water, nothing.
Right. And the guy wound up, you know, if you look at him, he's a fairly big guy and all that. He winds up with broken ribs and all this kind of stuff. And so it's you know, I love the story when they believe that Bill, one of the men, was protected by their Bosch dishwasher. That he was hiding behind that when the wall collapsed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I just can't imagine seeing two little eyes, you know.
Yeah.
Staring back at you.
No, it turned out to be wonderful.
Yeah, and I know you have a lot of dog lovers.
Oh, absolutely.
Listen, and it just, you know, just warms your heart. on a day that the news is just so terrible.
Oh, there's so many things, and that's why we don't talk about
them. No, I know. That's why I thought I'll call in with the good
right.
story.
No, that's a wonderful story. And for people who are looking for hard stuff, I urge you to look far, because if you do, you'll find anything you want online. Not on this show, but
it'll
be there in every machination that your heart wants. So, yeah, absolutely.
And if anybody wants to look up this story, they just have to type in, dog rescue Alaska, and it'll pop right up.
Right, that or Ketchikan landslide, because there's never been a landslide like this in Ketchikan. It is amazing when you look at the pictures of the disaster, and a week later, here are the two dogs, just fine.
They're just so cute.
Yeah.
They're just, oh, God.
But I do wonder,
anyway,
share
that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. But I agree with you. What are the dogs thinking, well, this is different,
Really? Yeah. So you guys can come and get me now.
Yeah.
I mean, the good thing is the dogs don't realize how much time,
Well, we don't
by.
Know. We have no idea. Well, that's the beauty of that. Who knows?
That is. You're right. I mean, there's so many jokes online about, the dogs causing a ruckus just because the person went to the mailbox,
Right, right.
I mean,
I
know when I leave my dog, and I cage him when I'm gone just so he doesn't get hurt. And when I come home, even if it's just an hour or whatever, it doesn't matter. He just goes nuts, absolutely nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't even, and he's not even a barker by, on a normal.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But,
dogs with bad separation anxiety, walls are coming down. I understand that. Yeah. All right. Great story, and thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. And have a nice week, everybody.
You too. All right, so and they are they're darling, they're sisters, the dogs, and they're little, and you can see that picture too. And it was a good story, and that's one of those that makes you wonder. Literally, these big burly guys are in bad shape. Here are the dogs; they're fine. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Jim is in Richmond. Went to the glaucoma specialist today. What happened?
I have a long story, if you can take it today.
Of course.
But I wanted to say, first off, they said in Phoenix it was 101 days straight of over 100. Is that the area you're living in?
Yeah, that's called summer. I don't know why they bother with that. The days when you...
But they said the record was 78.
Yeah, right. They always, emphasize this. But I'll tell you, the only days we worried were when the high was over 112.
Right.
So, it'll get to over 120, and there were several that were over 112. So it's summer.
I'm just wishing that there's going to be a front that comes down from Canada for you guys.
Well, we've had actually, and I was mentioning this to John, now, where the radio stations are located, we're a little higher ground there, and so it can be just as warm in the day, but it does cool down at night nicely. But for the last 2 weeks, we've had regular thunderstorms, so I'm just hoping that it's enough thunderstorms to, in some way, keep the forests, moist enough that we're not going to have severe wildfires, because that's the next deal we get.
Yeah, and they're talking about the rain and in California, but they have not said anything about the forest fires. So I don't even know if those are over with.
Oh no, absolutely your big month. No, the fall. I realize August is a big month, but September, October, depending on how dry it is, that can be just as deadly. So we'll see.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And I have a little bit long story of what happened today.
Tell me.
After your show, I listened, it was 1 o'clock. I think I finally fell asleep at 2. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I had a tremendous headache, the same one that put me in the emergency room, and I was unbearable.
Oof.
And then my thing went off that I had real low blood sugars. So I drank a huge glass of orange juice because orange juice works the best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to bring the blood sugars down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried to go to sleep and I couldn't. And I had the alarm set for 6:30 so I could get ready to go to Skokie for the doctor's appointment.
Right.
So I never fell back asleep and the headache would not go away and stuff like that. And then my blood sugar went up a little and then down and then up and then down, and I was getting frustrated. And so then I just took care of everything, and I ended up, because I thought with those headache above my left eye like I had in the emergency room, so I took my drops at like 5:30 this morning, and normally take it when I'm ready to go out, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I took those this morning and stuff like that. And then I got to the point for the last 3 days, my vision was horrible. Mm. And today was like the worst day ever. So then I got all ready, and then finally my brother came, and we're driving, and, you know, my eyesight was horrible. Yeah. And then we finally get to Skokie. You know where Old Orchard is in Skokie?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the doctor's place in the office building there.
Okay.
And went to the doctor. And I told him, you know, the technician, what I have had lately and everything.
Uh-huh.
And then the doctor came in. Uh-huh. And looked at my eyes and everything. And he said, your pressures were 11 and 12.
Which is perfect.
I've never had those. I've never had those numbers.
Right, those are perfect. Those are perfect,
right,
for anyone. But did you tell him about your blood sugar spikes? And
oh yeah,
yeah. And what did he say?
Right.
What did he say?
Nothing, because I don't think he gets into that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But my blood sugar when I was there, I ran 125 for like 3 hours, so I was good.
Okay.
And he says, "Well, it's good that you're at a level," because I showed him my phone.
Right.
And so anyways, we're discussing my drops.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm out of the latanoprost, and CVS won't fill it until the 7th of October. And he goes, and he comes back in, and he brings these little things that look like super miniature toothpaste tubes to squeeze, you know, one set into my eye. So we were talking about that, and I told him about the raccoon eyes because of the rash underneath my eyes and stuff.
What are you saying?
And we finally deduced that it was the aprodonidine.
Okay.
That the hospital put me on.
Uh-huh.
And when I went in there, because my blood sugar at that time when I had that headache was 32.
Right.
And so he put me on that. So we were sit there and discussing it, and he goes, you can't take the aprodonidine anymore, because like this other one, I forget the name of it, visodonidine that he put me on like 2 years ago, it actually burned my eyes.
No.
So he goes, you're allergic to this now. You're not taking it anymore.
Good.
So then he said, we're going to take Rocklantan, which is very expensive. After insurance, it's like $47 a tube.
Okay.
So he goes, here's a whole bunch of bottles of Rocklantan.
Oh, good.
And he says, take the Rocklantan and take the dizolamide with Timian, and take that 3 times a day now instead of 2, and the Rocklantan once a day. And then when you go see the retina specialist on the 18th, we'll check your numbers. And if it's high, then we'll call and make another appointment, because he didn't schedule one.
Right.
And we'll get you in, and then we'll see what we're going to do there. So so then this is going to be a little bit long story. So then we were all done, and my eyes were starting to clear. And I'm going, you know, as my brother and I were walking the whole length of Old Orchard to get to the Apple store.
Okay.
And I can't make it that far because of my hip. But we got to the Apple store, and if anybody's in the orchard and you need help, ask for Harry.
Okay.
So Harry comes out, and then he goes and he looks at my phone, and he says that he set it up and he went through it and everything and punched all these numbers in, and he says, when you get to the where it says what your blood sugar is, take 2 fingers and slide them down from the top, and it'll read it to you. Well, my fingers don't lay flat, and they haven't been since I quit working.
Right.
So I ended up doing 2 thumbs.
Okay.
So then it reads then it reads what it says, because mm-hmm. that's the only way you can get a reading. Because my old phone, as soon as my app 2, you know, Libre 2, it would tell you immediately when you did it. So that worked out, and that was great. And I thought that was fantastic. So then we drove home, and then I'm sitting in the house, and I didn't, you know, I last time I took the rock lantern was like 6 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm sitting in here in the living room, and I'm going, it's clearing up.
Whoa.
You know, and I haven't taken the rack lantern then, where the point where I couldn't even see my way to the doctor's office walking through the mall. I'm clearing up.
Now, hang on one minute. We're going to interrupt you mm-hmm. for the news, and then we'll get back to you being there at Westfield Old Orchard, which is about as long a walk as anybody can make. Don't go away. Stay where you are. All right.
Thank you.
That's what we'll talk about, and your calls, too, of course, on WGN Radio.
As I look at the letters that you wrote to me, it's you that I am thinking of. As I read the lines that to me were so I remember our faded love. I miss you, darling, more and more every day, as heaven would miss the stars above.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Patsy Cline, 1963 on Decca. And James on the South Side wanted to hear that. And actually, that was originally Bob Wills. He wrote it, Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys in 1950. And the Maddox Brothers and Rose also did it in 1950. And I think Ray Price had it out in the latter 50s and the Wilburn Brothers, Leroy Van Dyke. But it wasn't until 63 that Patti Page had out that, as far as I'm concerned, that it was just huge. But everybody and their brother did it with over 200 versions, including Jackie D. Shannon. So there you have that. So we're talking to Jim in Richmond. We left him with good news. His eyes were clearing up. So carry on.
Hello?
Yes, carry on. So here you are, and to your surprise, your eyes are clearing up. You hadn't even used the drops yet.
Yeah, I actually took it about 10 minutes ago, mm-hmm. before the call.
Yeah.
But what I'm so excited about is the fact that I cleared my mind.
Yeah.
I got to the point where I said, it's all in my head, you know,
yeah.
Like you were telling another listener that she thinks too much.
Yes, Cindy,
I think I sit at home
yeah.
all day long.
Yeah.
And I think I go, you know,
mm-hmm.
Feel sorry for myself. Is that maybe a word, a description?
Yeah.
And I think after, because it seems like he didn't give me anything at the doctor's office, just
right.
looked at my eyes and took my pressures. And then all of a sudden, I come home, my eyes feel great. So I'm going, this is a sign.
It
that
is.
Don't think of the bad stuff. Think of how you want to get better.
Yes. And you know what's interesting, you know, is you say the doctor didn't give you anything, but actually he gave you something priceless. He gave you time. He talked to you today. He looked at options. You had a real conversation.
Oh, yeah.
And I guarantee you that was better than any drops he could have put in your eyes.
Right. And I was sitting in his office, and it was off the subject. I was sitting there, and I remember this is the same office that I was in seventh grade when they gave me my first pair of glasses.
Oh, geez. Oh, that's a walk down memory lane.
Right. It was his father who did my cataracts.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy he trained from that did my dad's cataracts were all in that same office. And I was sitting there thinking about that.
Sure.
And, you know, and because I'm loyal.
Sure.
To doctors. And, so I just wanted to let you know that I got to get it out of my head.
Yes.
And like you told another listener, that she thinks too much. Mm-hmm. And this is what we want to do. And number two, thank you, Eduardo.
Eduardo.
He made a statement. He made a statement last night that it's okay for men to cry.
Absolutely it is.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was never emotional until I got the blood transfusion from my triple bypass.
Well, that's interesting, and you know there might be something to that. But absolutely honor your emotions. No good can come in trying to stifle them, which a lot of people do. But I'm all for honoring your emotions. And also, when you start to be on that feedback loop where you're thinking about it and it's going from bad to worse and all that, you kind of have to step back from it and say, "Now wait a minute," you know. And it seems like you're starting to do that, and that's great.
Right. And I told my friend who I've known for almost 24 years, and she's on vacation, and it's like, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds, you know, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. I have to go do laundry.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I thank you because I don't have anybody to talk to that has an objective opinion.
Right. No, well, you do now, you know, and a lot of people are listening, and I even get email about you, so you've got a lot of support.
Right. And number three, you talked about the song Crazy.
Crazy, in this case, Faded Love. But yes, I have talked about Crazy as well. Patsy Cline, Willie Nelson wrote it, yes.
Patsy Cline. Isn't that the song that she recorded after the traffic accident that they raced her into the recording studio because someone else was going to record it?
I don't know if that was their motivation. It makes a lot of sense, but you're absolutely right. It was after that bad traffic accident.
Right, because I saw it on Ken Burns' country music. And then when you talked about it the other night, I thought that's when it happened.
Yeah, well, it may have. Willie Nelson wrote it, of course, and, you know, it's so strange because for years he was sort of a Nashville outcast, but boy, could he write.
Right, and that wasn't his name of the song. They changed it to Crazy.
Yeah, well,
it was a different name that he gave it.
I think I remember reading that, yeah.
Right, because it was on Ken Burns' show, you know, that they changed it to Crazy. He had another word for it, and I can't remember it.
What I had heard, and I have no idea if this is true, but what I had heard, and it fit for Willie Nelson, was that he wrote the song in like a half hour, and he called it stupid.
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, that was always the story.
He was writing it in that coffee shop or restaurant, that's what it was. He wrote it in there in a half hour.
Yeah, no, it was one of those throwaway things as far as that that goes. So yeah, I'd always heard that, and of course, you know, that really put her on top again. I loved Walking After Midnight, but she wasn't real hot for a while after that. And Crazy, and of course, I Fall to Pieces. Both were just huge for her. So that's interesting. All right. So now I'm trying to
thank you for your time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And I'm going to try to figure out.
Thank you for your time. And yeah. Thank you for listening. And could you play either one?
Well, I played Faded Love. You want me to play Crazy? I played that last week, but I can play it again.
No, but what about Walking After Midnight?
Oh, I'd love to play that. That's one of my favorite records. I'll be happy to play that.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. So,
thanks.
That is a terrific record, but yeah, what is the deal if it was a deal that somebody else wanted to record it at the same time? Now, I'm trying to think, who would that be? All right, so a mystery. I'll look into that. I don't know, but yeah, stupid. So I guess it is true. How about that? Who would have known? Clayton, a first-time caller in Washington, Indiana. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi. It's like 11 o'clock at night where I'm at, and I have people sleeping upstairs right now. But, like, I was listening to the show on AM.
Uh-huh. And you got your radio. You got your radio on, so that's driving you crazy. Are you close enough to turn it off?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably want to do that.
But I'm recording the broadcast on it right now
for posterity.
I got the thing.
All right.
Huh?
I said, all right. So there we go. So there you are, listening to the radio, recording it, and everybody's asleep upstairs. And what else?
So I know a guy called in and told a health story, a bit of a story that something went on with him, and that reminded me of something that happened while I was in high school. I'm 21 years old. I just graduated.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, it happened one night when I was about 20 years old. I'm 21 now, but it happened one night. It was after I had gotten off of a counseling medicine called Latuda. And that Latuda, for the longest time, has caused me some health problems.
Mm-hmm.
More notably, I was throwing up everywhere. If I wasn't throwing up everywhere, I was extremely tired.
Okay, so I'll ask a real personal question, because normally Latuda would be like for schizophrenia or bipolar. Are you suffering from either of those?
Not in general. They used it for like anxiety and stuff.
Wow, that's a heavy dose for anxiety, but I've heard it, but I didn't think it would be off-label use, to say the least.
Yeah, that I would stay away from that Latuda. That stuff is terrible.
Okay.
Like, if you're not tired, you're throwing up everywhere. I could barely keep anything down.
That's interesting, because I thought one of the side effects was you would gain weight. But from what you're saying, that wouldn't be a problem. Oh, man. Well, yes, so stay away from that. All right, so carry on.
So I got a Fitbit from someone. A friend, Miss Tamara, gave me a Fitbit, and the first night I put it on, I haven't had it set up yet,
mm-hmm.
but when I got it hooked up to a device,
mm-hmm.
I figured out it also caused me some heart problems.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, why is my heart rate 120 beats a minute? Or,
well, you're talking about something that has an electrical current. I mean, I'm no doctor. I don't play one on the radio. But whenever you're dealing with any device that has electrical current, your body, how your heart works is basically electrical. So for some people, that can be a problem.
Well, it wasn't a problem for me, but, like, it measures it. And when I got it pulled up on my device, I even had the school nurse check with a monitor, and sure enough, it was doing this. It was measuring the same thing that the Fitbit was measuring.
Okay. All right.
And I've always needed a Fitbit. I unfortunately don't have one because someone at the school made me return the Fitbit to the person that gave it to me, knowing full well I had these problems.
Well, in some cases, I don't know, but there are all sorts of programs, if you can't afford to do this on your own, where something could be, you know, provided for you. But the first thing is, are you working with a doctor in terms of, is this something you should be doing?
I went to a doctor to have it checked, and when they hooked me up to the monitor, I came up tachycardic. Like, I came up slightly tachycardic.
Well, that's serious stuff. I mean, I would hope you had a regular, you know, a general practitioner as your primary doctor that you could consult, because it doesn't sound like you'd want to do this without advice from somebody who knew what they were doing.
Well, Miss Tamara, my who at one point in time was my dorm parent, she has a nursing license. She works for the state. She has a nursing license. She's trained first aid, CPR, stuff like that. So I could trust her with those things, and she worked at a hospital.
All right, and she's saying that it'll be perfectly fine for you to wear the Fitbit?
Yes.
So now
she actually wants me to, because she also had her own little monitor that she checked with that was like that finger thingy.
Right.
And that happened.
Okay.
And I was able to work a little more because I had also gotten out of my old IT class, which wasn't very accessible. That's a whole nother thing. But I realized with the problems I was having, I had to get a phone in my dorm room because I was worried enough about it. That I had to get a phone in there.
Well, absolutely.
So I bought a desk phone. It was an OBI 2182 desk phone, Google Voice, worked with Wi-Fi, and I had that sit on my nightstand.
All right.
And I slept with that on my nightstand, knowing if I ever needed help, I could call downstairs and let someone know, because I lived in a room upstairs.
Okay.
And they didn't do checks very often. They usually did them every hour or two.
All right, so you had something where you still have it?
I do, but it does not work.
Why not?
No one at home will let me use the Wi-Fi. I'm just on a flip phone.
Well, a flip phone will work for an emergency situation, as long as the battery's charged and you've got some service available to it. It'll work.
Well, that's good news. But like, that led to one night. I was laying in bed with my iPad and Braille display. I had accidentally kneeled on my Fitbit charger day of and broke it.
Oh, geez.
So my Fitbit was dead. And that just so happened to be one night I had a little bit of a health scare.
But you've got the flip phone. Did you use it?
I didn't have the flip phone back then. I just had my desk phone.
Okay. Well, the flip phones are good because, as you know, you can get them that are dirt cheap, and you can get services that won't run you more than $10 a month, and you just use it in an emergency situation.
Yeah, it's just, I'm at home. This happened when I was at school.
Mm-hmm.
This happened when I was at the blind school over in Indy. That's where I had my desk phone.
Right.
And that one night I was laying in bed watching stuff on my iPad. And I all of a sudden started feeling this chest pain. I'm like, should I pick up the phone and call downstairs, or is it just something that'll go away on its own?
Well, no, if you're concerned enough, you want to pick up the phone, because if you sit there worrying about it, it's going to get worse from your fear alone.
And I texted Miss Tamara on my Fitbit app.
Okay.
And she texted back and was like, that's nothing to play with.
Right.
You should have picked up the phone. I told the dorm parent that morning.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's nothing to play with. Well, you should have picked up the
phone. Absolutely. When in doubt, always act. Absolutely. And again, if you don't, your own emotions will cause you to have problems from stress alone. So yes, don't hesitate. Now, I hate to say this, but I'm coming up against the news, and I hope you're going to call me again and let me know how you're doing.
Oh, I will.
All right. Well, good luck. I think that flip phone will be a lifeline for you. Carry it with you wherever
right
you are.
It is.
All right. Good deal. Well, thanks for calling and thanks for listening. I appreciate it, Clayton. All right. So, yeah, Clayton's got a lot of stuff going on there, as does the rest of the world at large, and we'll find out what that is. We'll also talk to Cindy in Chicago. We'll play more of your requests coming back on WGN Radio. And if you're listening to this show, one thing I know is you're a radio lover, so you know what I'm going to talk about, the Sea Crane Company. And if you don't know what I'm going to talk about, well, it's high time you learn, because when it comes to radio, this is the answer. Many years ago, Bob Crane was as disgusted as the rest of us at how bad radio reception was in the current radios, and he said, I can do better. Well, not only did he, but he turned out a lot of different radios with a lot of different features. The one commonality to all of them is great reception, and the EP Pro is no exception. Now, this radio is wonderful because it's a throwback to yesteryear. It's a slide rule dial tuning. Just tune it to your heart's content. The only thing it has a dial light. And, oh, yeah, it has some bass and treble controls as well, because the speaker is really nice and you'll wind up getting your perfect pitch. But it's got the twin coil ferrite antenna in it. So AM, man, I'll tell you, you'll pick up more with this than you would with, I put it against most any other radio, except another Sea Crane radio, of course. But you'll find out that that the reception is just terrific. And FM as well. And the sound on it is great also. It's got a line-in jack, so you can take advantage of that good sound with your smartphone or anything else if you want. I'll listen, because who wants to listen on their smartphone speaker? In any event, it is just simplicity, but truly reception, just great reception. So if you're looking for a radio that is nothing else but a radio, man, this is it. And I've got one in the kitchen and one in the bathroom, and I love them. So go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Read all about the CCEP Pro. You can give them a call if you can't go online. They got the world's best customer service. They'll send you out a hard copy of the catalog if you want it, or you can order right on the phone, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. So whether it's by phone or online, you tell them Raleigh sent you. You look at that EP Pro, ccradio.com on WGN Radio.
To me, baby, there's a real cool thing going around. They're calling it the naughty coup, and it's going all over town. Now I'm gonna tell you how to do it, so listen real close. Yeah, baby, just put your soft warm lips to my ear, tell me the words that I want to hear. Yeah, baby. And then you cool took me, baby. Oh, come on now. Cool took me, baby. Cool took me, baby. Cool took me, baby. Cool took me, baby. Oh, whisper my ear. Now, why your lips is warm and moist, nibble on my ear. Now, this gives me a cool sensation. I can feel glibly here. Yeah, baby. Now, then we'll start our nigging. You know what comes next. Start a little naughty coup,
James. Yes, the coup, 1959. That is early Wayne Cochran and NRC. It wasn't on NRC, though. It was on one of their sub-labels, the Scotty label, S-C-O-T-T-I-E. I don't know why. But in any event, that wasn't a hit anywhere. But it did kind of start the ball rolling for Wayne Cochran. So, yeah, get down with it. All right, so 888-876-5593. It was Don and Beloit, by the way, who wanted to hear the coup. All right, so Cindy is in Chicago. Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, I have a request. It's Elvis, Treat Me Nice.
Oh, okay. All right.
You like I guess it was the best I could find for right now.
Very good.
Anyhow, my pink diamond came today.
Yes.
I didn't know it was that big. It's not a real, it's a lab created.
Well, that's the term they use now, lab created. And of course, there are several different ways to do that, whether it's something like Diamondel or whether it's a cubic zirconium or whatever. Do you know what it is?
It's a fancy VS1 or VSI.
Yeah, that's telling you the quality of it.
It's a real diamond.
Well, it's a lab-created diamond.
Right. I mean, that's considered real.
Well, no, I wouldn't go that
not
far. Lab-grown diamonds are lab-grown diamonds, and there's nothing wrong with them, and they can be quite expensive, but they're not diamonds.
Yeah, but that can't. It's 0.85 carat.
Okay. And the quality is good. So, all right, you love it. What shape is it?
It's a heart shape, and then I ordered the blank, and I got a rose colored gold heart blank.
Okay.
I think it was under $20 at Estee.
Okay.
But then anyhow, I want to know that on a more serious note, that boy who took that I forgot what his name was. I'm not good with names. That made him sick.
Yeah.
If he has mental problems, the best friend that he will have is the Walgreens pharmacist to read him the side effects before any medicine that he takes.
Right, or he can also look it up, because all of those medicines, you can find the contraindications and the side effect right online.
Right, and then the thing about it is, if the side effect is really queer and really terrible, and they say it's very rare, it's not rare.
Right, yeah, right.
I mean, from my experience, yeah. It's not rare. Most people get it, you know, and... But anyhow, and, you know, just I know you, you know, and I think the thinking too much is the border of schizophrenia, because I had that again today, the racing thought.
It can manifest in a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to be schizophrenic, but that overthinking, you know, OCD, and you know, there are so many different ways. And even people who are not defined to have any disorder in particular can be very prone to that happening. And it's very easy to get in that feedback loop. And next thing you know, man, you're scraping yourself off the walls.
Well, I can't. The only way I could control it is by taking lorazepam if it gets real bad. But then that has side effects too. Where I don't know if you remember, I forgot how to start my car one time.
Yeah, right, right. No, right. Everything has side effects. No doubt about it. If an individual is healthy enough to be able to realize that they're doing it and then step away from it and just say, hey, I see what this is, step away from it and don't allow yourself to be part of the feedback loop.
I'm 62. I mean, I just can't. I mean, I just, from being under stress so long, I just can't control it anymore. I used to be able to control it when I was young, and what I would do when I was young, if I got like in that way, I would go out to the department store and spend money, and I don't do that anymore. I just have to find another way.
Yeah,
I watch, you know, I'm kind of mad because my cooking shows on PBS are in the evening now and not in the afternoon when it hits me. I watch my cooking shows. But then anyhow, I guess it turned out okay with the racing thoughts today, because I ended up calling the Leiden Family Service just to check if I could still go there, like, because my psychiatrist is getting a little older. If I could go back there, if I live in Chicago, because I thought it was, and they said yes, and I guess I asked the same question for the past 20 years, did Dr. Couch retire? And finally, I think she's gone, and probably what they do for a sheet, she was just the worst. I mean, I left there because she almost made me end up in Reed Center. She was so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm-mm. And so now they send doctors, they send like people undercover to see what doctors do, and that's a state place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she was registered as, or determined as a menace to the community.
Oh my God.
And it usually takes. Well, that happened to another Dr. Wolf, Blaze Wolfram. I had he was that doctor. I had him for at least 10 years, and he was determined to be a menace. They sent undercover people because he kind of molested a pre-adolescent girl and was not following the rules over controlled substance. And what he would do is he would like make your appointment, and then you'd sit there for 3 hours, and then you would have like a 5-minute appointment, and he would just pretty much get rid of you. And for that boy, you know, he doesn't know much about psychiatrists yet, but like they overbook and then they don't help anyone.
And on that note, yeah. Well, I don't even know where to go with that, but you're absolutely right. Nobody should, in fact, be held hostage, so to speak, by a doctor. If you're not getting the care that you believe you need, you find somebody else.
Well, there's a shortage of psychiatrists in Illinois right now, too, and that's a political issue, so we won't get into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing is, of course, in many cases today, I mean, medicine is highly politicized, too. But in a lot of cases, psychiatrists rely on pharmaceuticals as opposed to psychologists who tend to not. But that's a horrible, gross generality. But,
yeah.
You know, certainly you can find what you're looking for if you are aware and if you keep looking.
Well, I have a doctor right now. When my medicine, thiocysteine, was in a shortage, I mean, he just left it up. He didn't know what to do and left it up to me to find a medicine.
Oh, nice.
So I went. I mean, he's just the best one I've ever had, though. Uh-huh. He doesn't really try and do anything.
That's right. No, I think you can end the sentence there. He doesn't really try to do anything. Yeah. This is probably not an attribute.
Some of them, for that boy, I mean, if you listen too much, you have to trust your own instincts with a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you listen to too much of what they try and over-medicate, if you listen to too much what they say, use your own common sense, because you'll end up in the nut house from them.
Well, there you have it. Now, you had a request?
Oh, yeah, it was Elvis, Treat Me Nice.
I wrote it down, and I will. It may not be tonight, because I'm already running behind, and if not, it'll be tomorrow night. So let me write that down.
All right. I'm making spaghetti tomorrow.
Oh, very good. Well, enjoy every morsel.
All right.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. Spaghetti sounds good to me. 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. Don is in Beloit. Hello, Don.
Hey, Raleigh. Wow.
Yeah.
What a night. Thank you for playing that song, The Cougar, the early song by Wayne Cochran there.
Right. NRC, you betcha. I don't know why they put it on the quote-unquote Scotty label, but it was all NRC, which pretty much everything rock and roll in Atlanta came out of that house.
He was portrayed by Joe Namath in this movie version of his life, the CC Riders movie, I guess.
I don't do movies, but that's a laughable combination.
Funny.
All right, why not?
Yeah. Why exact another Southern guy, so why not, right?
Well, yeah, well, so there you have it. But yeah, he was about 19 when he recorded The Coup. So yeah.
Riley, going back to the barn, did you visit there? Is it,
yeah.
You were just starting out. You were so young, you know, just throwing at the control board and everything. And those years,
obviously I was old enough to drink. So believe me, I was. The barn was just one of those places that would be one of the many clubs. Like I say, the two that were always, I don't know why I pictured them together, but Tubby Boots at the Dunes And you'd have to look up Tubby Boots to know. And Wayne Cochran at the Barn. And so, so sure.
Yep.
Absolutely.
The June Taylor and June Taylor dancers were famous there.
That's totally different. That has nothing to do with that.
Right.
Now you're talking about Jackie Gleason, and he used to do the shows at the Miami Beach Auditorium. And so he had the June Taylor dancers there and all that. But believe me, that had nothing to do with what would go on at places like the Barn.
Right. I'm going off topic on you. About a year ago, you did a lounge lady singer that wasn't as popular as like one of your bumpers. And did you do something with June Taylor? Maybe you might have played one of hers.
No. June Taylor actually was considerably older than I was. She was born like 1917, and I think she was from Chicago actually. But I was aware of her, but I didn't pal around with her or anything. You know, she did stuff early in Chicago, and I think the deal with that is she turned to choreography. You know, the June Taylor dancer, she obviously was choreographing. She wasn't dancing. She had like tuberculosis or something. So she met Jackie Gleason in the 40s, and they became close. I think the story was that she helped him overcome stage fright. It's hard for me to believe Jackie Gleason never had stage fright, but okay, fine. And, you know, so she was then on Toast of the Town, you know, that horrible Ed Sullivan show.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah, that was on the internet. I saw that recently.
But, yeah, but Cavalcade of Stars.
She claims that, she, you know, Wayne's biography, his little bio, he claims that she got a lot of ideas from watching him perform.
Well, I guess he can certainly claim that. I wouldn't be surprised that she would occasionally, for whatever reason, you know, go to the Barn. But you know, this would be the 60s, not when Gleason was first doing stuff there in the 50s. This would be 60s, and you know, she was active there. But you know, what can I say?
Yeah.
Did she get any moves from him? I never paid a lot of attention to the June Taylor dancers. I know.
Well,
that,
Jackie Gleason wrote the liner notes for Wayne's first album, so that's kind of neat. You know, that's kind of neat how that all tied together with that local scene.
Yeah, and it did to that extent. But as I say, I normally wouldn't think of them together.
I like everybody else. I just get so much out of your family folks that can talk and not breathe and so on. But Jim, especially, everybody talks about Jim. You know, and I really am glad to hear his voice on your show so much. Like along with so many others that are.
One of the things,
back to
June Taylor, man, one of the things that she choreographed was the Dolphins cheerleading squad. So she did that at the time. I don't know if that's any of
that is funny.
Yeah, no, for a while when I was briefly a commercial artist and I can't even draw a straight line with a ruler, it's very odd how I got this job. But anyway, one of the clients were the Dolphins were coming to Miami. And so I worked on their logos and stuff like that. But, you know, they were talking about it. And sure enough, it wasn't a few years. But they got June Taylor to choreograph the Dolphins. And I'm trying to think that the cheerleaders had a name. I mean, a pronounceable name, not something you could not say on the radio.
Only a few NFL teams had cheerleaders.
The Starbrights.
I grew up in Buffalo, and Buffalo had the Jills. They're called the Jills.
Right. The Starbrights, that's what they were, the Starbrights.
Okay.
And so that was the deal with them, and she choreographed that. And but she did a number of things. Like I say, she was born like before 1920 for sure. So yeah, and she had a husband. He was an attorney, Saul Lerner. That was his name, Saul Lerner. I don't think they had any kids, but anyway, her sister, I think, wound up being Jackie Gleason's third wife. But I remember the one who was dating in Bay Harbor. Yeah, she worked as a secretary there, but that's not the same one. In any event, that was the deal. But yeah, Miami Beach used to be very interesting, especially early on, before all the big hotels had the showrooms and all that. It was these independent clubs, you know, owned by people like Martha Ray. And cabarets and strip places, you know, Zorita the Snake Lady and stuff like that. And it was, you know, Ricky Ricardo, as Desi Arnaz obviously had his rumble line where he'd take them out and they'd go around the block. I mean, that's early in my childhood. I remember all that stuff.
I really commend your family. I hear many of our listeners, you know, on your show. I hear on other callers, other shows around all over the radio dial, but especially Ed. Right, I really want to do another shout out for Edward from Tampa because I heard him today, and I often listen to him and think I should to jump and do these. But I really, you got an amazing family, Raleigh.
Yeah, we're gonna play some Eduardo requests later. Some Russell
That's
Blum.
Great.
Yeah, great guitarist, and we're gonna Johnny D's request next. So thanks for calling.
I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye. Finding out what's going on in the world at large is coming up on WGN Radio.
I watch you come in here night after night. You sit over in the corner where there ain't no light. You got a beautiful smile, but you don't have fun. Something about you, baby, been left undone. You've been over here in the dark so long. You never been rocked in love. You never been rolled just right. My time is your time, baby. And baby, I ain't got all night. I don't pull no punch. I don't play no games. It ain't none of my business, but it seems a shame. Now I can't hold back. I got to speak my mind. You look like a woman that needs a real good time. You've been over here in the dark so long. I ain't no doctor, but I know what's wrong. Never been rocked enough.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there he is, Delbert McClinton, Never Been Rocked Enough, 1992 on Curb. Not bad, not nearly as good as what we played last night, however, but both of them were Johnny D's requests, so there you have it, Johnny D. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you, Raleigh, and thank you for playing my Delbert McClinton request.
Certainly.
Delbert's my man. That's the problem with a lot of women. They ain't never been rocked. Enough, you know what I'm saying? They never been rolled just right.
You know what I mean? We'll just stop right there.
All right. And, you know, some of your callers are the same kind of crazy as me. Yeah. But anyhow, I just wanted to say, yeah, I have a couple of song requests. But and one is brought to me by Don from Beloit that wanted to do the coup, that had the coup.
Yes.
Well, and it brought to mind, then I thought, well, the Ohio Players song, Hoochie Coo. Hoochie Coo.
Yeah, that's...
Remember that song?
Well, yes, and that's also the title of so many different songs.
Well, the only one I know is Hoochie Coo by the Ohio Players.
Oh, okay. Well, one night we have to do a whole Hoochie Coochie for you. A whole Hoochie Coochie
Coo. It's not Hoochie Coochie. Hoochie Coo.
Okay.
Hoochie Coo.
All right.
Not Hoochie Coochie.
All right.
All right, Hood She Coo.
All right.
Okay. Anyhow, and what was the other one I wanted to do here? Oh, yeah. I was hearing a lot about, what was it I heard about last night? Somebody said something about middle-class white guys, right? And I only do an average white band, Schoolboy Crush.
Don't know it.
Got that?
No, I don't know it.
You don't know Only a Schoolboy Crush?
Average
Only a Schoolboy Crush. Average White Band. The Average White Band.
No, I know the group. Yes, I know the group.
Schoolboy Crush.
All right. I might have it.
Well, you check it out because it's good. It's
all
a good
right.
one. Good
all
one.
Right.
Now, I want to say this also. They're having a lot of success, I hear. I've seen something on Netflix about this. Something about the mind or something like that. And they're having a lot of success with psilocybin mushroom, magic mushrooms.
Okay.
You know, with in psychiatry, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of success.
And?
Hello?
Yes, and I'm waiting for the punchline.
Well, there is no punchline. Oh, okay. It's just that it's been, it's been successful with alcoholics.
Okay.
I believe, you know.
Okay.
Schizophrenia, they've been having success with that. And you know what else that I was amazed to see? That the cognitive revolution, right? You know what I'm saying? The cognitive revolution,
okay.
Mind.
Yes.
This was brought about, their thinking, that it was brought about back in the Paleolithic, right?
Uh-huh.
When these early hominins were following the herds of the animals that they hunted to eat, right? Out of their waste would grow these mushrooms, all right? And they were picking them and eating them, and they're thinking that it was because of that that caused the cognitive revolution in hominins. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, that's interesting. I have no, obviously I wasn't there.
Well, this is what they think caused us to, the mind to expand.
Okay.
And be, yeah, that's what they think. So how about that?
Interesting.
Anyhow, I also want to say this. This Saturday, and this is getting back to your first caller, Lisa, who I wrote a wonderful song for, if I recall. Lisa from Dundee. And by the way, I want to apologize to Karen about the At the Dock, the lyrics she wrote.
Uh-huh.
I want to apologize because both of my daughters are timid. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They will not do the backup vocals. They're very smart girls. They have excellent careers, you know, they're doing well.
Well, this is all right. I understand. I have had another offer from Fran and the seniors in Austin to do it, and I might turn it over to Fran.
Hey, let Fran have it. You know, I'll give it up willingly because I don't want to be over there by myself going
okay.
At the dock.
All right. Very
good. You know what I'm saying?
Very good.
So give it to Fran. Give it to Fran. Let her rock on with it.
Yeah, there
rock
you have, there you have
you
it.
You go, girl.
All right.
You go, girl.
All right.
Listen, where am I at here?
Oh, no.
Guess what?
What?
Saturday will be 1 year that the Caesar, crossed over the Rainbow Bridge.
Oh.
Saturday. The 14th, Caesar crossed over the Rainbow Bridge.
All right.
And what's her name made me think of that?
Saturday.
Because it's written on my calendar. Becky writes everything on my calendar.
Of course.
Everything.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. She puts little stickers, paws, and thank you. What you have there? Thinking of you sticker and two little paws. And then when he came home, we brought his ashes home on my sister's birthday, my younger sister's birthday. She'll be 67. But anyhow, you're the best sticker, and it has Caesar home with two little paws in a doggy house. And, you know, she writes everything for me on my calendar. When I wake up, I just kind of look at what she wrote, you know.
Yeah, very good. All right.
So, yeah. Okay, then. Did you get Hoochie Coo?
I will look for that later, I promise. We will have it on tomorrow if I have it.
All right, thank you. And remember now, you never some women out there just never been rocked enough.
Here we go again. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Yeah, that's just what I need. All right, so, we lost Donna Beloit. You're welcome. I think he was going to thank us for playing The Coup. And, we'll have other stuff coming up. You know, I have three Delphonic records to play if we have enough time because, of course, Thursday, we got the call that it was Tommy's birthday and we had just played a Delphonics record for Stacy, and he said, "Well, you just can't play enough for me, Tommy in Chicago." So a happy belated birthday. We'll get him some Delphonics records for him, and I've got a few nice Russell Malone. And yes, very very sad that he passed, and I don't know it gets better than Russell Malone when it comes to guitar. But I got a couple things that maybe you haven't heard. We'll find out coming up on WGN Radio.
When you look into her eyes and she turns away, when you're at a corner table and there's nothing much to say, isn't late. And you try hard to amuse her, but she doesn't concentrate.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that is the Delphonics. You don't hear it too often. It was an album cut, and I thought they did a really nice job on that. That is from 1969 on Philly Groove, Sound of Sexy Soul. Yeah. That first album, Lala Means I Love You, had some nice stuff, too. In fact, we may play something from that next hour, as well as a hit. I promise a hit, but this is all for the belated birthday of Tommy. Hope it was happy. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Brian in Jefferson City, what's up tonight?
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. I'm calling about the fella from Wisconsin that's dealing with vision loss.
Jim.
Jim, I've looked up there. I have a number for the Wisconsin Council of the Blind. Can I give it to you?
Absolutely. No, you absolutely can. I think he's got it, but just in case, I'll write it down. What you got?
Okay. Whenever you. Okay.
Yeah.
It's 1-800.
Uh huh.
5213.
Okay.
Wisconsin. And they might be able to help him just. Even for if he needs services, or they can point him in the right direction, or just a social outlet to where he can maybe get connected with other blind or low vision people and
okay.
who went through the same problem, and can give him some input about
good
how
deal.
To deal with things. So
good deal. Thanks.
Great, great. Hey, when you lived in Miami, was Larry King down there at the time?
He was starting out. He was at WAHR. He, in fact, the general manager there, the guy who owned it, actually, Arthur Zucker, I think it was Zucker, but anyway, he wouldn't let him use his name, and so that's, he gave him the name King. And so, yeah, AHR. No, that wasn't Zucker. That was AZ. But anyway, the deal was that then he got a little, like, sports column in the Miami Beach Sun and all this, and next thing you know, he was, like, a big deal. He got a little TV show, and he had, you know, bigger radio show, and then, of course, came the Nixon administration and Mitchell Wolfson and what was his father's name? But anyway, Wolfson owned Womeco. Womeco was WTVJ television, but it was also all of the movie theaters. There's a big chain of movie theaters in Miami, Womeco. Anyway, Wolfson was going to be indicted. So Larry, who had a gambling problem, to say the least, and I knew that firsthand, actually. It's a long story. But anyhow, Larry was telling Wolfson that he could, this true story, pay off B.B. Rebozo, who would get it to Nixon's people, and he wouldn't be indicted. So meanwhile, here's Larry King taking Wolfson's money and just gambling it, right? And this worked until one day Wolfson wakes up and reads in the Miami Herald that he's been indicted. Oh, my good God. And so he called Larry King, and he said, "You have 24 hours to get out of the state." And Larry did. He wound up, and it was so weird because the first job he got was as a PR person for a racetrack in Shreveport, if you can believe that. So anyway, you know, I thought, here's the gambler doing PR for a racetrack, but okay, fine, Bossier City probably. But anyhow, after a while in the 70s, he slunk back to Miami, and he was doing overnights at WIOD. And while he was doing overnights there, trying to build his life up again, Ed Little, who had owned WGMA in Hollywood, he got that after the game show guys got in trouble and lost the license. Plus, long story there, too. But anyhow, he had become the president du jour of Mutual. And he's the guy who brought the nightcaps to Mutual. Oh, God, what a disaster. And then Long John and Candy. But as you know, Long John died. He had cancer. He died. So he had to find somebody else. And so he remembered how big Larry King was and how desperate he was and realized he could get him really cheaply. So he brought him up to Virginia for almost no money. And that's how Larry got the overnight thing at Mutual. And the rest is history.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because wouldn't know when I know Larry did that for about 16 years. He did the radio thing on Mutual.
Yeah.
And then he, I think, and maybe 1994 retired from the radio side and just did CNN?
No, the first thing that happened was they moved him to Days.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, and that was the kiss of death. And so that pretty much ended radio. But yes, then he continued on television for
yeah.
several years.
But when I remember, I think it was like early 1993, they moved him to like 3 to 6 Eastern, I believe.
Yeah, it was not a good move.
When he fully retired from radio, is that when kind of Art Bell took off and became the big overnight?
No. It would not be related at all. The Art Bell thing, if you want to go there, was who's the guy? He had a religious show. I'm trying to think of. He was Roy Masters. Roy Masters. Who the hell does he think he is? Roy Masters had his own religion, and he was. I think he was originally either from South Africa or from Australia, but he always fancied himself to be British, and he was arrested a couple times when he came to the United States. He was a real carny barker, but he developed this deal. He had this religion, and I always said the only tenets of it was don't eat anything and hate your mother. I'm sure there were other facets of it, but he started to do this syndicated show, the Roy Masters Show, and he would buy time on radio stations and eventually on, like, WOAI, some nice stations. But anyhow, he formed a little network to syndicate his show and put one of his sons in charge of it in Central Point, Oregon. And and so they hired a guy from New York, Alan Corbeth, and Alan was challenged with, you got to find us an overnight host. And so Art Bell at the time was doing overnights at K-Dawn in Las Vegas because he'd been a cable installer there and wanted to get back into radio. Wanted to get back in the worst way, and that's the way he got there, because at the radio station, well, I don't know if everybody's dead yet, so I probably can't tell the story. But anyway, after they are, I can. But so he wound up on the overnight show, and Corbeth heard him and you know, put him on this little Central Point, Oregon network. Now, initially, it was not things that go bump in the night. It was more political than anything,
right.
But he had that Sunday night show that they called Dreamland. And so he was working six nights a week. And ultimately, he moved out to Pahrump, where it was cheaper and all that, but was still doing the K-Dawn show. And, you know, it started to take off. But I would say that it was long after Larry King wasn't a factor that really morphed into something where it was on a ton of radio stations. Of course, when Premiere bought it, it was easy to put them on all the Clear Channel stations because they, you know, originally Jay Cooper, but then that.
Right.
But they, you know, much like Mutual, they did not know how to sell overnight radio. So they would do things like, say, take a couple minutes of time in the day. You know, they were not really selling. It's a long story. But anyway, so that's how Art got there. But I would not connect the dots to saying, well,
okay.
But I will say, I will say this. You know, when you're looking for an overnight show and your main overnight host on Mutual is no longer doing it, that certainly is an impetus to find somebody. I would agree with that, but I don't know that it was a full game plan.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. Well, I'll let you get to other callers.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, my brief time in KFI, I remember Tom Likas used to make prank calls to Art Bell, but Art was really wanting to do something then, and he was on KDON, and I'm not even sure if it had been national at that time. The years go by so quickly. So do the hours. We've got another one to go. I hope you'll join me. We'll talk to James. We'll talk to Laura. We'll talk to Dave. And hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. More Delphonics for birthday boy Tommy. And, of course, Ready or Not, Here I Come, a hit, I know, 1968 on Philly Groove. Ah, the Delphonics. All right, so 888-876-5593. And Miles is a first-time caller. We always defer to them in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio, Miles.
Hi, Raleigh. I love hearing you on the radio off and on randomly when I could stay up day and night.
Ah.
I love how cognizant you are with information. But you played a song last night at the end called Dancing. Now I'm losing my train of thought. Dancing in the Night.
I did.
By a gentleman singer. But do you recall that?
The last thing I played last night was Rainy Night in Georgia by Brooke Benton.
That was probably it. I obviously twisted my thoughts and I'm thinking dancing instead of raining, but well, it was called Raining?
Rainy, R-A-I-N-Y, Night in Georgia. And this was a big hit.
Wait.
Big hit.
Yeah.
And Tony Joe White wrote it, and Brooke Benton had the hit.
Unbelievable. And my father, who did pass away a couple years ago, had us listen to all those songs.
Well,
so
good.
It was enjoyable in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate
your call and do it again.
Okay?
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. So good to meet Miles. Hopefully won't wait forever to call again. And let's see what is going on with, I know we talked to Brian and Dave in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh. Good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm here, I think. I'm starting to wonder. Yeah. So what's up?
I'm hoping your convalescence is coming along. I know it's like medical whack-a-mole, you know, but I've been there.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Anyway, so I wanted to ask you, I know kind of topics have been bouncing all over the place tonight, but so I live in Chicago, and I can't seem to figure out why all of the major sports teams are on AM radio when there's HD radio available or just FM where the quality is so much higher, especially for these events that go on, like during the day,
okay.
Bears games. Why is it?
Well, let's first talk about HD because, of course, many FM stations will be HD1 stations as well. So when you're talking about HD, you're talking about HD2 or 3, and they really don't have listenership is the reality. And so you're not going to – the only time you'll see an HD 2 or 3 coming into play is if somebody's offloading something for a reason and needs a place to put it. Play-by-play rights can work in a variety of ways, and it can be quite costly to a station to acquire them. Of course, if they're paying a lot, they have advertising opportunities, which they sell to sponsors, and they make their money that way. Now, traditionally, spoken word has been the part and parcel AM. It doesn't have to be, and there are several places where now it's certainly migrating to FM, but there's no set reason other than, in many cases, that play-by-play contract is the only real money and ratings that station has. So,
well, you long talked about too how AM's kind of going by the wayside, well, or going the way of the dodo bird. Do you see it going that way for sports too?
Well, you know, I mean, again, I will say what I always say when this conversation comes up, and it's the big caveat, and that's that I never really like this discussion because it's the discussion of the delivery truck. When you order something from Amazon, you don't look at the truck that brought it to you, you look at what's in the package. Well, whether it's AM or it's FM or it's HD or it's satellite or it's online streaming, the bottom line is if the content is compelling and you are able to hear it, that's what you listen to. So that's a given. Now, that said, very few people in desirable demos, because, you know, the advertisers don't like people pretty much over 55, you know how that is. Very few of those people are AM users because the radio they grew up with that they liked when they were young was FM. And so you have fewer and fewer people who are scanning the AM dial. Again, if it's play-by-play and that's the only place you can hear it and you want to hear the team, well, you'll listen to AM. But you're probably not a regular user of it, so to speak. You know, I've also said go to Hertz at the airport and ask them if you can just play with the radios in each of the cars. And assuming they don't throw you off the lot, what you're going to find out is, and I've done this for years and years. So, you know, they're used to me at airports. Anyway, what you're going to find out is that anymore, AMs don't even have presets. You may look at the car and it's got 22,000 rental miles on it, and yet the AM still says, you know, 540, 1700, 1440, you know, the presets. So nobody's bothered.
It's virginal in that sense.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, you bring something that people want to hear that they cannot hear anywhere else, they'll listen if they can pick it up. And the example of that is now over 40 years old, so it's an old example. But even so, 40 years ago, AM was pretty much considered for young people to be dead, you know, in the early 80s. No young person was listening to AM. Not only that, but Top 40 was dead. And that's a longer story. But the first station to come back with Top 40 was actually an AM radio station in Houston, KKBQ, and the old 790, the old KULF. They wound up going to number one in teens literally in a matter of weeks. Now, at that point, you prove two things. Number one, you prove that if you were offering something that the kids couldn't hear anywhere else, oh, they'd find you. But at the same time, the people at Southern Broadcasting, Gary Edens and his group, were smart enough to know that if they didn't put that format on FM, somebody else would, and that would be the end of it. So, of course, they did. Now, on the other hand, if that format was built around a personality who was non-duplicable, like a Howard Stern or whatever, you could keep them right there because you can't duplicate them. But if you can duplicate the music, of course FM is going to outdistance it. But it really comes down again to content. If you are offering something that people want to hear and they can hear it and it's the only place they can hear it, the world is your oyster. Put it wherever you want.
That's terrific. Hey, I've got one other question for you. So I discovered your show earlier this summer, and it was kind of in the thick of the Stanley Cup Finals, and you seem to have quite a connection to the Canucks, and I figured maybe enough time has passed for the Hurt. Are you able to dish on what your connection to the Canucks is?
Just spent so much time in Canada, and you know, still have Canadian bank accounts, and love the West Edmonton Mall, my favorite mall, and you know, so it's just like that, you know, a lot of time there.
Well, it would be great to see Canada finally win a cup. I think it's been like almost 30 years for that. So, well, thanks so much for chatting with
all
me,
right.
Raleigh. Hope you
Thanks
have a good
for
night.
Calling. Appreciate it.
Bye now.
Yeah, and in the 60s and the 70s in Edmonton, the big AM station that was Top 40 was CHED, C-H-E-D. And they're going to 880, and they're going to take that 630 and close it down. My heart is breaking, but it's also, you know, kind of the way it is with the times. We heard about the Hamilton 50 kilowatter. Of course, that Hamilton 50 kilowatter was an 8-tower array, and I could see why they were doing that. But CHED, Yeah, all right. They've already gone to 880. They're simulcasting it, but they're going to turn that 630 in next month. How dare they? All right, so 888-876-5593. Laura is in Willowbrook. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Everything's great on your show, as always.
Thank you, thank you.
For some reason, you're welcome. For some reason, the Four Seasons have been on my mind this week, so I'm wondering if you could play Can't Take My Eyes Off You by them.
Okay, I'll do it tomorrow.
Do you know, can you tell me anything about them? I like their music, but I really never really knew anything about them or how they are or how they started or anything.
Well, they're a Jersey group, obviously, the Jersey Boys. It's interesting, they wound up on, and they were the first white group on VJ, Chicago label. And it was actually Jerry Blabbitt who made that happen. He was sitting with Abner in 1961 or 62 at the NARM convention in Miami Beach. And Abner first said, I can't sign a white act. And Blabbitt said, no, you got to hear these guys. And the reason that he was pushing them is he had a good friend associated with the band. But so that's how they wound up on VJ. And they were on VJ for a long time and did very well for them, actually. So, you know, of course, Frankie Valli, obviously, you know who that is because he kind of spun off into a solo career and he was their lead singer. But, you know, beyond that, trying to think of what you might want to know that I could possibly tell you. They formed in Newark. I mentioned they were a Jersey band. They formed in Newark and, you know, they were originally the Four Lovers. And it was probably like 1956. And, you know, Bob Gaudio was very instrumental. He was keyboards. And Frankie Valli, of course, was the lead singer. Tommy DeVito, who's no longer with us, and Nick Massey. Those were the four. And then Joe Long came on. But that was like 65. That was a little later. They did very well. They took the name The Four Seasons after... after there was a problem with the Four Lovers and they failed an audition or something like that. And then, like I say, then Blabbitt got into it and got him on VJ, which was really, really good, to say the least. And Bob Crewe, you can't deny the influence of Bob Crewe, who started working with the band in 69. In fact, that was Jerry's friend. That's how that deal came up. And so, you know, Bob Gaudio had been in the Royal Teens, and what else? What else do we know? Charlie Colello, that was the fourth member that came in as the Four Lovers were kind of going away. But, I remember they tried everything. There was one famous story about they auditioned to sing in a bowling alley, and the bowling alley wouldn't take them.
Oh, gee.
And so, you know. And
oh,
so,
no. Oh, God.
But what was interesting is... They were so upset they failed the audition, but according to Bob Gaudio, he had said, well, we'll get something out of it, and the bowling alley was named the Four Seasons. So the Four Lovers became...
Oh, no way!
Yeah, absolutely. The Four Lovers became the Four Seasons. And so that's how that happened. But it was really Bob Crewe, I think, behind it that made it ultimately happen. And Gaudio wrote Sherry, and they were soliciting the all the labels, and it was Frankie Valli who approached Randy Wood, and you know, but what the and not the Randy Wood of Dot Records, the Randy Wood who at the time was VJ, different guy. But in any event, I think more than anything, it was Blabbitt at that convention talking to Abner, saying, "No, you should do it," and they put it out. And Joey Reynolds was one of the first people to ever promote it, and that's why Joey Reynolds had all those jingles done by the Four Seasons. But he played the heck out of it on POP. And you know, then of course the nice thing about it was Sherry was a big hit, but they could follow it up. And this is kind of important because if you're a one-hit wonder, you're out of the game. Well, they followed it up with Big Girls Don't Cry, which was huge. And then Walk Like a Man, you know, and they did a number of other things. My favorite thing was something Larry Santos wrote, Candy Girl, in 64, actually, late 63. But in 63, probably the only group that sold as much record sales that were top 40 group was probably the Beach Boys. you know, with all their car songs and all that, Surfer Girl and, you know, all that 409, all those things. So, of course, the big problem for the Four Seasons came because VJ went broke. And so, did it ever.
Oh, gosh.
So that's so they moved to Philips. Philips was actually a division of Mercury. And so they had to get their masters back, and that was a whole big, you know, brouhaha and all that. And of course, it didn't help. It did. They did, but it didn't help that now you've got the British invasion and all of that. But they managed to survive. And you had Denny Randall worked for them. His songwriting with Sandy Linzer. Oh. You know, there were several. They also recorded sometimes under phony names, like you'll remember the Wonder Who. That was actually Frankie Valli.
Yeah,
the Wonder Who. But
dear.
You know, and then obviously they had, you know, respectable records. I wouldn't say we're big as Sherry, but respectable records through 67. And you know, so Can't Take My Eyes Off You, one of them. So then you had the deal with Frankie Valli doing a solo thing and all that. So, you know, on and on. I don't know.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Obviously, I don't know a whole lot about them, but I know the basics.
Oh, gosh, you sure know a lot more than I could have thought to ask about.
No.
And, I mean, they just had one hit after another hit after another hit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was so hard to get them in, or all that they had to go through with the
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah. Well,
you
can look somewhere. I'm sure there are websites that will tell you who have been the members of the Four Seasons. And, you know, some of them only a short time, but I bet you you'll find 24 different people.
Wow.
You know,
oh, my.
So
I forgot to ask, and maybe you said and I missed it, but they stayed together and then they stopped singing, or did Frankie split?
Well,
I mean, did they stop singing and then he just went on his own, or did they?
No, I mean they
split first.
Well, yeah, there were some solo things. You know, there were some things that was Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons where it would be listed that way, much like Diana Ross and the Supremes. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But one of the things that helped all of these groups, it was the oldie circuit. You know, long after they didn't have necessarily big hits, they easily could tour or do a number of places. So, you know, of course, the disco era hit a lot of people hard. And so for a while, they weren't getting bookings. So I think they were, you know, pretty much dead then. But then they focused on touring. And as far as I know, Frankie Valli is still performing. And, you know, with other members who are, quote unquote, the Four Seasons. Obviously, you know, Bob Gaudio is not there. And, of course, Tommy DeVito was dead, so he's not there. And all that. But so, sure, that's not unusual.
I really appreciate it. I didn't really know much about them other than I just love their style of music. And they got a lot of hits that I can sing along to. So,
Yep. You
betcha. Appreciate it, Rally.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, so, yeah, I'm no expert on the Four Seasons, but they certainly were big. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to get to Taxi Driver Bob. We're going to talk about Frank Zappa, who, of course, I love because he loved East L.A. stuff, Memories of El Monte. And the final Delphonics record for Birthday Boy Tommy coming up, and then James and his stories on WGN Radio.
I know you don't know what I'm going through. Standing here looking at you. Well, let me tell you that it hurts so bad. You know it hurts so bad. Hey, it's gonna hurt so bad if you walk away. Like needles. Been making out okay. She's in love, don't stand in her way. Make it up to you.
Stay.
I'll shoot.
anything you want me to. You loved me before, so love me again. I can't let you go back to him. Please don't go.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Now, that's the final of the Delphonics trio for Birthday Boy Tommy Hurt So Bad, 1968 on Philly Groove. It was on the Lala Means I Love You album. And Taxi Driver Bob is in Barrington. Welcome to WGN Radio.
You know, Raleigh, you never cease to amaze me. I've been listening to your show since you got on WGN. A lot of the people at the radio station know me as Taxi Driver Bob.
Okay.
But I have a nickname in the taxi business, and it came from the Frank Zappa album, Mothers of Invention album, from the Fillmore, June 1971. Take a guess what my nickname would be.
Oh, gosh, I can't imagine.
Mud Shark.
Okay. Oh, God. All right. All right. I'll take that.
And so the next question gravitates, were you ever at the Fillmore?
No.
It was an iconic place.
Yes, it is an iconic place, and I've certainly had to show up there, but I've never been there for any reason other than I was with a label and had to show up. But no, it's not really my kind of place at all. But you mentioned Zappa, and I am a huge fan because, of course, when he moved to L.A., he was 12 years old when he moved to suburban L.A., and the first thing he heard was, of course, the Art LeBeau and the Huggy Boy East L.A. oldies, and he was terrific. In fact, he actually wrote Memories of El Monte that the Cleve Duncan and the Penguins sung, so I was a big fan because of that.
You know, a lot of people don't know. I'm a big Zappa fan, but the guy never did any drugs, and
absolutely,
you would never know it with some of the lyrics.
No, he is. You're 100% right. He was, you know, it's so funny because on the one hand, people who didn't know him thought he was the most out there guy, but the reality is he was the most together person probably in the LA music scene. And it's proven. You look at his kids and, you know, they may have odd names, but they're as normal as can be. And that was his second marriage, but
Guido played with all the best guitarists.
Yeah. No,
around.
I mean, you know, and of course, if you'll remember back when what's her name, Tipper Gore had that thing about the wanted all the record labels to put signs on records and stuff. And so he went and he was just eloquent. He tore her to shreds in a few sentences. It was just great. And
did you ever see him on Johnny Carson's show? Johnny didn't understand him for life.
No, Johnny didn't understand him. But of course, you know, the famous one is how he, I'm trying to think of the guy's name now, the guy who was from Chester originally, and he had Joe Pyne. He was on Joe Pyne, and you remember how Joe Pyne was, I'm sure. Well, Joe Pyne made a comment about him, like, with your long hair, are you a girl? And he said, with your wooden leg, are you a table? And I thought that was the best comeback ever.
He was extremely intelligent guy, politically in tune. And, you know, back in that time period, a lot of people were very in step with what was going on politically and very active in the role and politically in roles of not so much finding differences, but just making the world a better place to live.
Absolutely.
And that's what we should all be interested in right now, not politically for Democrat or Republican, just getting along to make the place a better place to live.
Well, you know, it's...
I also have some songs, if I could put in a request for Frank Zappa songs, too.
Oh, yeah, but what I was going to say is, you know, back then, I think both sides of the aisle, established politicians, I don't care if they were left or right, were just aghast, and they set him up, if you remember. This was 1965, and the Vice Squad had an undercover guy who paid him $100 to produce a suggestive tape for a bachelor party. So Zappa and a female friend faked it, an orgasm, basically. And so here he is. He's got this tape. He's about to hand it over, and he gets arrested. All right, so the press, meanwhile, are told about it. Their vice squad investigators stilled the tape recorders of, you know, all that crap. And so he was charged with conspiracy to commit pornography. And bottom line, it was a felony. They reduced it, I think, to a misdemeanor. But he was sentenced to 6 months in jail. Now, it was all but 10 days suspended, but he had to go to jail for the 10 days. And so, So, I mean, believe me, it didn't matter if they were conservative or liberal. In 1965, it was Zappa, and they weren't having any of it.
Yeah. Well, the last concert I saw him was, he was at the Riviera on Broadway in Chicago. And, uh-huh. You know, women were throwing up their panties up there. Yeah. And he was putting them on his head. Yeah. You know, he was just an amazing guy, and I'm 64, so in his younger days, I went back to see on YouTube and stuff of him being on Johnny Carson and all that other stuff, and because I at that age I didn't know Frank Zappa from anybody,
right? Well, of course,
and somebody told me about him, and then I started listening to his music, and I'm like, wow, this guy, and I mean, like the Mothers of Invention. There was a lot of things going. There was multiple singers. They had xylophones, all sorts of instruments in his band. I mean, he got people from all over the place that were just really great musicians.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you remember that. I'm trying to think of the talk show host he was on. The first guy who ever did The Tonight Show, Steve Allen, where you probably saw that because I think that clip's online where he's playing the bicycle. So he can do most anything. But, of course, you know, for me, it was like Reuben and the Jets. Not going to be much else. But what is it you want to hear?
And Steve Allen looked at him like he was nuts.
Well, of course. That's the whole point. That's why it was so great.
Yeah, I know, exactly. All right, so we're gonna go with is three. How many do I get?
Yeah, as many as you want. I just have to find them and be willing to play them.
All right, Disco Boy from Zootalurus.
Okay.
I'm a Slime.
Okay.
And then also Cosmic Debris.
Mm-hmm.
And
by the way, a standard.
Yes, and then Dirty Love.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and it's so funny. I'm sure I have them because even though I was all about the East L.A. stuff, John, who screened your calls, has all the stuff you're looking for. So between the two of us, we've got them.
Oh, that's awesome. I think people's... A lot of the stuff that you play, I don't care for really at all. And then when I heard you talk about how you thought, Frank, I just never... You know, you think you have people pegged as to, you know, what they like, what they don't like, how they are, or anything else, and you, with you yourself, I mean, a lot of people don't know the half of the stuff that you know about and that you've been involved with in your lifetime, and it's really refreshing to see somebody that has really experienced a lot of different things in life, and that's why what makes listening to you on the radio just a real pleasure. I appreciate it.
Every time you hear a doo-wop record that's driving you crazy that you hate, remember it was probably one of Frank's favorites.
Yeah, that could very well be.
Yeah, absolutely, because he loved it. All right, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right,
bye-bye.
So yes, indeed. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And we have Tommy in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN.
Hello, Raleigh.
Hey, Tommy.
See you feeling better.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, thank you so much for the dedications and birthday songs.
Sure. Well, I tried to pick a couple that maybe you didn't hear all the time.
You did. That hurt so bad. And
Face it, girl, it's over. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard those in years. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure. Well, hopefully it was a happy birthday.
Fan.
Yeah.
I'm having one still.
Well, good.
And I'm a Zappa fan as well.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, that East L.A. stuff he did, I just loved it.
Yeah, you guys, awesome instrumentalist.
Oh, yeah.
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 All right, Bobby. Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
I'll hear you tomorrow.
All right, I hope so. All right, yes, a live three-hour show tomorrow. And, yeah, one more request that we're going to get in tonight. It's going to be Russell Malone, because if you'll remember yesterday, Eduardo asked us to play a Russell Malone, and I think I'm going to play one that he's never heard. I think you've probably never heard it either, because it was never released. It was never even recorded. It was something that he did in his living room that somebody ran a tape on. But I thought it was just terrific. So that's coming up on WGN Radio. That's Russell Malone sitting in his living room. Yeah, just terrific. I sure wish that they had recorded that in a studio or done something with it. And there are a number of solo pieces that were great. I was hoping I'd have time to play When a Man Loves a Woman, but I didn't. And that actually is on one of his albums. So Russell Malone, in fact, it was Eduardo who brought him up last night. And maybe you don't know him, but you certainly know his work. Considered to be a jazz guitarist, great. He's all that, but he's more. He was a kid in Albany, Georgia. He was born in 63, I think, and his family was very church-going, so he's influenced by the Dixie Hummingbirds and things like that. But when he was 12 years old, he turned on the TV and saw George Benson performing with Benny Goodman, and that was really an inspiration. He thought, I can do that. And indeed he did. He started toured with Jimmy Smith, and then he spent 3 years with Harry Connick Jr. when Harry was doing a lot of the pop standards and stuff like that. And then in 95, he became the guitarist for Diana Krall. And, he was on all sorts of Grammy-nominated things like that. And he toured with, it's a who's who of everybody in terms of that. In fact, he was on tour in Tokyo last week, August 23rd, actually, when he had a heart attack, massive heart attack. And it was a shock to many people and not a surprise at all to his inner circle, because he had for quite some time been in end-stage renal failure, kidney failure. And so it was not, an unheard-of event. But he was there in Japan, and his son and daughter literally had to do a GoFundMe to, and that's done very well, and I'm pleased to see about that, but to get him home and all that. And it was just, it's a loss, all the way around a loss, because he was just terrific. All right, Laura in Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN Radio. Now let's get our magic twanger here. All right, Laura, there you are. Oh, Laura gave up? All right, well, she was waiting a while. She had some requests, so maybe she'll call tomorrow night. And I think I've gone through a lot of your requests, so there will actually be some openings tomorrow. But James, star of Stage, Screen, and 4 Million Stories, you sent way too much today, James. Couldn't read half of them. How are you?
Oh, fine. How are you?
All right. Less stories. All right, go through these. You know, cull. Just get the ones that are killers.
I couldn't believe this one. Let me bring it back up, because when I saw it, I said, no, this can't be.
Oh, there's so many of those, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I thought, now, there's, okay. Oh, here's one that was from that because I couldn't get in last week. It was where the guy thought he had acid reflux. It turned out his order was basically had a rupture.
Yeah, absolutely. And I looked at that because, you know, it's not uncommon. Very often people will have relatively common symptoms. Their doctor will do a couple basic tests and say, no, you're fine. You know, the thing of it's all in your head. Well, the bottom line is that many things mask heart problems and aorta problems. And the bottom line is if you have persistent symptoms, you need to make sure that every test that should be done is done.
Yeah.
And then, on the other side, then you have real idiots. And thank God that guy got a doctor who knew what they were doing, and he's fine now. But you also sent me the story about the Texas young teen, well, preteen, I think she was 12 years old, had life-threatening injuries, and her parents were treating it with smoothies and vitamins.
Yeah, that I was like, really?
Well, I also wonder that apparently, I don't know why the mother and father didn't want anyone to know that the girl was injured. I don't know how she was injured. And also, when it was found and people came to their house, they wouldn't let them in. So, obviously, there is much more of a story than the horror of this child dying. There's a whole thing going on here.
It's almost begs almost a song of what's it all about.
Yeah, well, it's who knows. But then the other thing, and you know, this was, I guess, I always think it can't get any worse, and this is far too many horror stories, and that's all we talk about. But then you read one that is so over the top awful, and we have a woman in Florida who directed her Rottweiler to maul and kill her ex-boyfriend's 9-year-old child.
Yeah, and I thought, the guy thinking that his daughter was all the way halfway across the country, California.
Right. Yeah, he thought the girl was in California to visit family. And, you know, of course, he's in disbelief. He comes home. Meanwhile, the girlfriend literally was hanging her up like a pinata and whacking her. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then, now exactly why you would video instructing the Rottweiler to bite the child in the head is so over the top that I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's like basically there's some people who when we say they should not have access to even having a kid even being around kids.
I can't.
Here's the example.
I can't imagine how that father must feel, because from all accounts he had no idea. And this is, they'll look into that too. But this is just over the top awful. And I guess the bottom line is it tells us that the rest of us really don't have any problems compared to people like this. And once again, we've hit the end of the night. So tomorrow we'll pick up with a few more stories.
Oh! I did want to leave one song.
Yes.
Okay, Patsy Cline, if you have Leaving on your mind.
Okay, you've got it.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, so I guess we have Leaving on our mind right now. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling, and I hope you'll do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.